Okay, good morning. Well, it's so good to be here. I really do mean that, too. It's been really good to be here and spend a couple days here with everybody. And just, I love when people have a desire and a heart to do something for God. And that's what it's been like. And just getting in and getting done and have a desire to do more. And look forward to that. Again, my name is Chad Robinson, my wife Heidi, and we're Bearing Precious Seed out of First Baptist Church, as Pastor mentioned. And we've been in the ministry there for 11 years now, and we love every minute of it. And a lot of it has to do with people say, you know what, you travel a lot. You probably get to see all kinds of neat things all across the country and different parts of the world. And, you know, that's true, but I tell them this, excuse me, that more importantly, I get to meet a lot of great people. And that's what I really enjoy. And so I've really enjoyed my time here and look forward to coming back, actually, and being with you all and serving alongside of you. Thank you so much for what you've done so far. 25,000 copies of Ukrainian scriptures, as Pastor mentioned, the first of 500,000 going to Ukraine. We have sent, if you weren't at the project I mentioned, we have, last year, a year and a half now it's been, we sent over 1 million John and Romans, over 100,000 New Testaments into Ukraine, and they've requested more. And so this is the first of these 500,000 that'll be headed that way. Somebody asked me earlier, how long will it take to get these all 500,000 done? Probably a couple months. And that is because of our seed line churches like yours helping us to do that. And so also, if you weren't at the project, I probably had mentioned this, but on the back of these boxes, you can't see it, but it has your has the language, but it also has your church name and the city and state. And that way, the people there know who's able to help them, the missionaries, the nationals there that'll be getting these scriptures out. They'll know that this church in Eaton, Ohio was able to help them get their people the gospel. And so that's exciting. I'm so grateful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that I have the Word of God. One thing I hope this project does is help you appreciate that. Because if this is, I mentioned this, if this is all I had to know about Jesus Christ, me personally, I would be in trouble because I don't speak a lick of Ukrainian. People ask me all the time, how many languages do you speak? I said, I barely speak one, okay? And so they tell me this says John and Romans. I believe it. And I people said, do you know what it says in here? I do. I said, let me get my Bible and I'll show you. But I'm grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful that somebody, when I was at the age of 17, somebody gave me the Word of God. They shared with me what the Word of God says and shared with me that my condition as a sinner and that how, excuse me, my condition as a sinner and that I needed a Savior. And then I was able to read what the Word of God says about that, and I was able to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at the age of 17. I was glad that somebody was able to open up a Bible and disciple me and share with me more what the Word of God says and who God is. I was glad that someone was able to open a Bible and share all those things with me. I'm glad that I'm able to open up my Bible and share it with what it says to other people that need to know about Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful for the Word of God. I'm grateful how the Word of God has worked in my life and that it continues to do so as well. And I don't know about you, but I want other people to have that same opportunity. You know, first we're commanded to do that, but also I think if we have the mind of Christ, we should have a desire to do that, to get it to these people that don't have the Word of God, even if it's just a portion of it. And so there's a great need there. There's a huge need to get the Word of God to all around the world. As Pastor mentioned already, 250 million copies of Scripture, that's great. That's over 51 years. And not to mention all of the people groups that don't have, again, a Bible in their language yet. And so there is a there's a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do to get people the Word of God. And this morning, that's what I want us to look at this morning. And so if you would open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 9. If you were in Sunday school this morning and you heard me talk about the ministry and how all of it works and those type of things, there was probably something that maybe was repetitive interwoven in all of that. And it was this, that there's never enough people. There's never enough laborers. And so I want us to be clear this morning on this message as our focus is on the Word of God, it takes a lot of work to get people all around the world the Word of God in their language. And if we're going to do that, it's going to take more laborers, okay? It's going to take more laborers. Laborers in the print shop, to make it close to us, in the print shop. Laborers that are willing to handle the Word of God and get it assembled. Laborers that are willing to take it to them and get the funds raised to get it to them. And laborers that's going to take to get it to those that can hand it out and get it distributed. And laborers that can work with people and disciple them and invest in them. And so there's a great need. And, you know, I've been in this ministry now for 11 years. And that's the one thing that has really stood out to me is God has shown me that there is a great need for laborers. He's allowed me to see it in our own country, in other countries, all around the world. There's a great need for laborers. And so Matthew chapter 9, as we look at this, and I'm sure you've looked at these verses before, and of course in verse 38, the Bible says this, says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." How many of us heard that verse before? How many of us pray for laborers like we should? I don't know about you, but I don't always do that. I don't always pray for laborers. Let me rephrase that. You know what? I do pray for laborers. In fact, our family used to pray for your pastor when he was a missionary. We'd pray for them, and pray for other missionaries and other pastors that I know. But you know what I don't always do? I don't always pray for more laborers. There's a great need for more laborers. And I know we know what the Bible tells us about this, but I'm not sure if we do that as Christians, if we're really praying for laborers. The good thing is here, if we look at this text, I believe that there are some things here that God has laid out for us that would help us to be better at praying for laborers, about praying for more laborers. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Let's look at our text this morning in Matthew chapter 9. We'll start in verse 35. The Bible says this, says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, when I look at the gospel records and I look at Jesus' ministry, one of the things that I particularly like to look at is this. I like to look at the actions that Jesus took and how I can apply them to my own life. And that's what I want to do this morning. There's some things here in this text, some actions that Jesus took that I believe that we could apply in our own lives that would help us maybe even do a better job at praying for laborers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for yourself. Thank you for the grace that you've shown us. Thank you for this great gift of salvation, Lord, that we have. Lord, I pray today, Lord, as we have an opportunity to come to you and worship you and to serve you, Lord, I pray for If there's a soul here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, Lord. God, that we could have the opportunity, the privilege to open up the Word of God and show them who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for them. Lord, I pray, God, You'd be with us in the service, Lord. I pray, God, that You would speak through me in despite of me, Lord, and that, God, that we would hear from You alone this morning and that You would be glorified. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And so as we look at this verse and continue to look at this verse, in verse 35, I see this at the beginning. It says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. One of the first things I see is this, is that he went to all of the cities and villages. You know what that tells me? That it's important to go to everybody, that the gospel is for everybody. My wife and I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip, on a Bible distribution trip to northern Italy last year, up in the Alps, in the mountains. And we went to these very large cities in the bottom of the mountains. A lot of people, we could get a lot of scripture out and get the scripture into a lot of homes. But you know what else we did? We also went to the villages up in the mountains where there maybe only been 10 houses or 15 houses or 8 houses, driving up the big windy road just to go get them the gospel. You know why? Because that's what Jesus did. He said the gospel is for everybody. The gospel is for all. And so I'm reminded of that the gospel needs to go to everybody. And so as we see this in verse 35, we see Jesus doing these things, if I could say it this way, doing what you would expect Jesus to be doing in his earthly ministry, that he would be teaching in the synagogues, that he would be preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. You can just imagine him doing these things, not to make them ordinary at all, but doing these things. But then in verse 36, it says what? What's the very first word there? It says, but. It says, but. And then it says, but when he saw the multitudes, when he saw. And so one of the very first actions that I see is this, is that he saw. He saw the multitudes. He looked and saw a great number. It might have been an indefinite amount of people. It might have been people that you couldn't count just right off the top of your head. But he saw the multitudes, and that tells me and that should tell all of us that we need to take the time and see the multitudes. That we need to take the time to see the multitudes, those that are all around us that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those that we live with on our streets, the streets that we live on, the multitudes there. When we turn our TV on and turn the news on and there's people on the news that people that maybe we don't agree with, or they don't agree with us, or we don't like the way they look, or they don't like the way we look, or all these type of things. Is that what you see, or do you see this? Do you see a multitude that don't know Christ as Savior? How about when you go to the Walmart store or wherever you shop at, the missionary, when he comes in and presents his work and shows the video of the people there, do you see the multitudes? How about, as we already shared some of the statistics of Bibleist people groups, again, they don't have a Bible in their language, over 6,500 people groups in this world that don't have a Bible, do you see the multitudes? Do you realize when a missionary comes in and they hear and they present their work and they say they're from a country, that this one missionary is not going to be able to evangelize that whole country? There is still a multitude of people that still need one to Christ. Do you see the multitudes? Even more importantly, do you see the multitudes like Jesus does? Do you see the multitudes like Jesus does? I'm pretty sure your church has been there before, but I could be wrong. Have any of you ever been to El Paso, Bearing Precious Seed El Paso? So some of you have been there before. So if you're not familiar with it, it's a part of our ministry. We used to print down there in El Paso, Texas. It's right on the border. We don't print there anymore, but we have church groups come in, youth groups come in. They're able to assemble the scriptures just like you guys did. And then what we do is we work with local pastors in Juarez, Mexico, right across the border there and team up with them to have little mini evangelistic meetings where we go out and hand out the John and Romans and invite everybody to the park. And Brother Hector Jimenez preaches. And it's an exciting time to see people get saved and be a part of that. And but before we do all that, the beginning of the week, you know what we do? Just like we did the Sea Lion Project, we pray. We ask God to help us and be with us. And if you're familiar with this, we drive up the mountain to do that. And if I could use this for an illustration this morning, you know, as we get in the buses and vans and we drive up the mountain to go up there to pray, you might see some people on the street as you start to go up, and you start, then as you go up the mountain, you start to see more streets with more people. And then by the time you get to the top, you can see a good portion of El Paso. And then by the time you get to the top, you can see a good part of Juarez and a good part of El Paso. It's also getting about dusk this time of the day. And so as you look out across the mountain, you'll see really what it looks like, a million porch lights. And to be honest, when you see it, it's quite overwhelming. It's quite overwhelming to think that those porch lights represent many souls. And that's, if I could say it this way, that's how Jesus sees it. He sees a whole world that needs one in Christ. He sees a whole world. And that's the type of view that we need to have when we look to see the multitudes. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He was moved with compassion on them. So the first action I see is that he saw. The second one is this, is that he was moved. And not only was he moved, but he was moved with compassion. That means he felt something inside of his gut, that something moved him. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you ever felt for somebody so much that it caused something inside of you physically? That it physically stirred something in you? That's what compassion is. What moves you to have compassion on somebody? I know for me it's this. When I physically see somebody, a trial they're going through, something that they're going through, that moves me more. You know, a lot of times you probably take prayer requests maybe on your midweek service or something like that, and somebody gives a prayer request and you'll pray for that. But many times that person that gives that request, that's somebody they know, someone in their family, and you can tell they're a lot more emotional, aren't they, about that? Because they have compassion on that person. They know that person. They've seen them. They see what they're going through. They see the trials that they've been through and these type of things. Brother Ron Jackson, the man that's going to be getting these scriptures out, Brother Ron Jackson was a chaplain with Cleveland Baptist Church. He started working with Ukrainians in Cleveland years ago, way before the war. Somehow he got inside to go to Ukraine, again, way before the war, and work with soldiers and share the gospel with them. The war broke out. The gospel is spreading all through through Ukraine because of men like Ron Jackson. I've met Ron, I've talked to Ron plenty of times. As far as I know, he's not Ukrainian. He doesn't have family that's Ukraine. But for some reason, he's had compassion on them. And it's grown. He goes back and forth during the war. He goes to the front lines. This guy, he goes to the front lines and gets these soldiers the gospel. He has compassion on them. And so I want to share some text with you this morning. Just listen as I go through some of these verses this morning. I want us to look at this, that when we see somebody, when there's a correlation between seeing somebody and having compassion on them. Matthew 14, verse 14 says this, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Mark 6, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Luke 7, verse 13, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, weep not. Luke 10, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, guess what? He had compassion on him. In Luke 15, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can I tell you this morning, if we were looking for lost souls, we would have compassion on them. If we were looking for lost souls, we would have compassion on them. You know what the problem is today? We're so distracted. We're so distracted by these things and whatever else is in front of us. Many times we're walking right by people. We've got our phone in our face. We've got our task at hand. Meanwhile, there's multitudes all around us that we need to have compassion on because we know where they're headed. We know their condition. Continue to look at this verse. What exactly is it that Jesus sees? Was it their physical sickness? I don't believe so, because we see that he was already helping them with their physical sickness. It was this. It was that he saw that they were lost. He was looking at their spiritual sickness. How do we know that? Well, what does Jesus say next? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I don't know if many of you know much about sheep, the animal, if you've spent much time with them. My father-in-law, when we first got married, he had animals on the farm, and he had a lot of sheep. And, you know, one of the very first things I learned about sheep are this. They're not the brightest animal. They are not, and I'm trying to be kind, okay? They are not the brightest animal. And so, you know, these sheep, they need someone to take care of them. They need someone to give them direction. Otherwise, they just go off and wander and do the dumbest things. And so these sheep, they need a shepherd. Can I tell you what this world needs? They need the shepherd. And we have the Word of God who can lead them to him. They need the shepherd. He saw, he was moved. Thirdly is this, then he said, or then saith he, we see it in verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now this is Jesus, so it's not like it just came to some kind of epiphany to him, like he just realized this. And so I believe this is an example for us. But I believe if we follow this, we would come to the realization that there is a great need. That there is a world that needs one to Christ. But then the problem is what? That there's the laborers are few. That the laborers are few. And so we need to realize it. We need to plan it. We need to pray about it. We need to strategize it. But again, most importantly, we need to pray about it. Laborers. We have Sea Line churches doing what you're doing all across the country, even in California. Several years ago, we had churches that wanted to get involved in doing Sea Line in California. And I had not been to California a whole lot at the time. And in my mind, I had a certain thought about California. I don't know what your thought is about California. But I had a certain something in mind what California was like. And you know what I realized? That the majority of California is agricultural. That it's a lot of small towns. It's a lot of smaller towns. It's a lot of fields of all kinds of things that are being grown. In Northern California, when I go up there, there's a lot of orchards. And man, you can drive down these roads for miles. I'm telling you, miles and miles of orchards. And you could look down the row and you could see the rows. It seemed like the rows go down for a mile. Now, I'd be there a lot of times in late summer, early fall, and everything's getting ready for harvest. And I'm like, how are they going to get all this? How are they going to get all this picked and done? Well, I'll tell you how. It's laborers. It takes laborers to do that. I also noticed this as they did it. They had the right equipment to do that. You know what I'm saying? The right equipment. It takes the right equipment. It takes laborers. What is a laborer? If I could say it this way, it's someone willing to work, which is kind of hard to find these days, isn't it? Someone's just willing to work. I like this definition of a laborer. A laborer is a person doing an unskilled work for wages. I like the part that it says unskilled, because that's what God desires, right? What's he looking for? He's not looking for ability. He's looking for what? Availability. And I can tell you this, as you surrender to God and become a laborer for him, he gives you those skills. He gives you those gifts that you need to do the job that he's given you. And so I like that definition. I also saw this when I was in California. I've been to the big cities like Los Angeles and Sacramento and San Francisco. And probably when you think of California, that's what you think of. And you know what I see there? I see this. I see the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Wow. And the world has come to us. I'll just say that. The world has come to us. I know when we talk about things about the border and things like that, and I understand all that, and I agree with that, but we should take advantage of the world coming to us. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What do you say? Do you say the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few? John 4, verse 35 says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you," listen to this, "lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." The harvest is ready to harvest. You know, one of the things I love about this Sea Lime project is, especially at your church, so many people came out. We got it done. I mean, the laborers came out, and we got it done. If pastor called me and said, "Hey, my wife and I, and we'd like your wife and I, if you'd come and bring 25,000 John and Romans, and if we could just put those together, all four of us, that'd be a good old time." It would not be a good old time. It would not be fun. In fact, we would probably get discouraged, probably quit at some point. But the laborers came out. The laborers came out. It didn't matter how old they were, what they had going on in their life. They came out and they did their part. See, God has given us an assignment, and he's given us each a part to do it. Just like in the Sea Lime Project. Some of us folded covers. Some of us stuffed. Some of us stapled. Some of us ran the carts around and got the scriptures to the other tables. Some of us helped clean up. If you weren't able to be a part of that today, I'll break the secret now. You're going to have an opportunity to be a part of it today. Because we're going to spend some time, we're going to pray over these scriptures. We're going to ask God to use these scriptures in a great way. We're all going to get around these. And you have another opportunity. You can help me load all these boxes in the trailer. And so you will have a part for sure. But each of us have a part in the assignment that God has given us to get his word out. And so we look at these three actions, and we see that he saw, he was moved, and then saith he. And these actions here made Jesus give the disciples an action to do. And what was that? It was to pray. And so I don't know about you. I think that's weird. I think it's odd. You know why? It's because it's just how I think. And I feel like your church is that way too, because you guys just like to go in and get it done, and I could just tell, which is awesome. And so I could just see these disciples, you know, they're ready, they're ramped up, you know, it's like let's go, let's reach people, let's get this done. But Jesus says to pray. He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." He says to pray. You know what I think he's saying there? He's saying, "Boys, you ain't going to get it done on your own." That's what he's trying to tell them. You're not going to go do this on your own. You're going to go get something done, but you're just going to burn yourself out and you're going to be done. I mean, he does send them out. In chapter 10, we see that he does get them sent out, but he says, pray the Lord of the harvest. And I believe it's, one, it was because of that. Two, is because we need God's power. We know that we have that. I don't want to get into that this morning, but God gives us the power to go out and give it to the commission that he's given us to do. Also, I believe it's this as well. As we pray, I don't know about you, you know, if I had enemies or people in my life that I've had strife with, I know what the Bible says. It says I should pray for them. And so I do it half-heartedly. You know what happens almost every time? Those people that I have to pray for that are my enemies, they become my friends. I'm like, God, you tricked me into this. How'd you do that? And I believe that's happens sometimes too. If we would pray for laborers, that maybe God would make us one. That he would make us a laborer. And again, there's certainly a great need for laborers. And so this morning I see the challenge should be this, that the challenge should be that we pray for laborers. But let me go back to this again. First, we need to see the multitudes. If we see the multitudes, it's going to move us to have compassion on them. If we're moved to have compassion on them, our eyes are really going to open up and see really what's going on. This, and help us to say, to understand, to realize the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then that's going to make us do what? It's going to make us to pray, to ask God for more laborers. And so the challenge this morning is this, is not that we pray for laborers, that we should. That's the end goal, but let's do this morning. Let's see the multitudes. Let's start there. Let's look out as we go out today. As you go out today, maybe you go out to eat at the restaurant and you just walk right to your table. You just look around and see the multitudes. See those. Man, there's so many people here that need to know about Christ. The waiter, the waitress. When you go to work, those people. As you travel down the road, have that type of mindset. Look and see the multitudes. And then start to have a worldview about that. And see all the places that still need a Bible, still need the Word of God, that still need laborers to go there. Brother Shane, I don't know if I was telling you, if we have, can you show that video of the Bibles being handed out? I want to show you just a quick 1-minute video here of some Ukrainian scripture that was handed out.
7 кілометрів від
last year, I believe it's in the Donetsk region. I believe that's where these were handed out.
Зараз, звичайно, менше.
They're getting handed out. They're called gospel bags of scripture.
Яку получили
and first, let me show you. This is the reason I want you to see this. I want you to look at those people. I want you to look at them in the eye.
Міжнародного гуманітарного хабу Рівне за сприяння Рівненської міської ради.
They have the word of God. They need to know about
Jesus.
Є
волонтери, які роздають людям цю
допомогу. They're having this opportunity here, but there's plenty more people.
Дякуємо, спасибо большое.
Дякуємо, слава Богу.
Своїм родичам візьмемо.
Так, чуть
пізніше, давайте. Бо вони не роблять, не йде, завод закрив.
Добре.
Сердечно благодарим за угощение, за помощь.
Слава Богу, дякуємо.
Word of God, you can see people already opening up the Word of God right there.
Він хоче нам допомагати.
So this morning, would you not just pray for laborers? But would you challenge yourself to see the multitudes? To see the multitudes, to lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they as white as harvest. I'm going to have Pastor come up. He's going to give an invitation. And then after invitation, we're going to take some time. We're going to pray over these Bibles here. But again, this morning, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, let's take some time and challenge our hearts and ask God to help us in this area of praying for laborers.
You know, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,